सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवन की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री राम मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगमयी जमुनमयी की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। समवेद भक्तवृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। शिशि गौर निताय की जय। शिशि राधा माधव की जय। श्री पंचतत्व की जय। श्री प्रहलाद सिंह देव की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Shri Gopali Ki.
Hare Krishna. There was a very important announcement that somehow or another, due to my impending old age and senility, I missed this morning. I humbly apologize, especially to the disciples of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, because I omitted to mention what the program would be for observing his disappearance this morning. The program of glorifications and remembrances will be beginning at 10 a.m. in the Mayapur Community Hall. That's just over by the workshops there. There's a pathway that leads over to where the samadhis are. So at 10 a.m. there'll be the commencement of the glorification and remembrances of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. I presume at 12 o'clock there'll be a Guru Puja. And then there'll be in the evening a special kirtan going on after the evening arati. That will be led by His Holiness Niranjan Swami, particularly in remembrance and glorification of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. Also, today is Saturday, there'll be the Hathi procession in the evening after the arati. Hare Krishna.
Om Agyanati Midandasya Jnananjana Sanakaya Shakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Madhuri Maha Sri Chaitana Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadakti Sabarantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 12, Verse 28. Maitreya Uvacha Nishamya Vaikunta Niyojya Mukhayayoho Madhuchyutam Vacham Urukramat Priyaha Kritta Abhisheka Kritta Nitya Mangalaha Muni Pranamya Ashisham Abhyavadayat Maitreya Uvacha Nishamya Vaikuntha Niyocha Mukkayor Madhu Chutam Vacham Purukrama Priyaha Krita Abhisheka Krita Nitya Mangalo Munin Pranam Yashisham Abhyavadayat Maitreya Uvacha Nishamya Vaikuntha Niyocha Mukkayor Madhuchyutam Vacham Urukrama Priyaha Krita Abhisheka Krita Nitya Mangalo Munin Pranam Yashisham Abhyavadayat
Nishamma
Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Nishamya, after hearing Vaikuntha of the Lord, Niyojya, associates Mukhayoho of the sheep. Madhuchutam, like pouring honey. Vacham, speeches. Urukrama Priyaha, Dhruva Maharaj, who was very dear to the Lord. Krita Abhishekaha, took his sacred bath. Krita, performed. Nitya Mangalaha, his daily spiritual duties. Munin, to the sages. Pranamya, having offered obeisances. Ashisham, blessings. Apyavadayat, accepted. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, Maharaj Dhruva was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord's sheep associates in the Vaikuntha planet, he immediately took a sacred bath, dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisances to the great sages present there and accepted their blessings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should mark how dutiful Dhruva Maharaj was in his devotional service, even at the time he left this material world. He was constantly alert in the performance of devotional duties. Every devotee should take his bath early in the morning and decorate his body with tilak. In Kali Yuga, One can hardly acquire gold or jeweled ornaments, but the 12 tilaka marks on the body are sufficient as auspicious decorations to purify the body. Since Dhruva Maharaj was living at that time at Badarikashrama, there were other great sages there. He did not become puffed up because the airplane sent by Lord Vishnu was waiting for him. As a humble Vaishnava, he accepted blessings from all the sages before riding on the plane brought by the chief of the Vaikuntha associates. Maitreya Uvacha Ni Shamya Vaikuntha Niyoja Mukhayor Madhu Chutam Vacha Purukrama Priyaha Krita Abhisheka Krita Nitya Mangalo Munin Pranam Yashisham Apyavadayata. One more time the verse. The great sage Maitreya continued, Maharaj Dhruva was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord Shiva associates in the Vaikuntha planet, he immediately took his sacred bath, dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisances to the great sages present there and accepted their blessings. The Sanskrit word madhuchutam means flowing with honey. The speeches of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world, are just like that. So sweet, just like flowing with honey. And another version is Madhuchutam, the long A, Madhuchutam, which means words having drops of honey. Same meaning. In other words, the words spoken by the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are just like as sweet as honey. That's the nature of transcendental sound. It sounds very sweet and pleasing to the ear. We also find one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. There it is also stated, related to the austerities of his speech and the mode of sattva-gun, mode of goodness. And such speeches, words, should also sound very pleasant to the ear. Anudvega karam. Anudvega karam means not agitating. Satyam, the words, that means truthfulness. Priya, very dear. And hitam. Hita means beneficial. The word should be beneficial for the listeners. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should speak words which do not agitate the mind of others. And then Prabhupada also makes the point that in the case of the teacher, of course, sometimes the words might not sound so pleasant for the student, but that also has the particular purpose for benefiting the student. Although at times maybe not so pleasant to hear, but still they're beneficial, the hitam. However, Srila Prabhupada also explains to the same purport that that's the position of the teacher. The teacher, he can educate the students, that's his duty, But he should not speak to others in such a way as if everybody are his students. That would not be correct. Otherwise, such words, if someone who talks to others, thinking they're all my shishas, all my students, then such sound, such speeches become agitating to the mind. Srila Prabhupada further explains in that purport to that verse that in the spiritual circles, whatever one speaks, that should be supported by a shastra evidence. Immediately, Prabhupada explains. And still he makes a point, in spiritual circles, such speeches should sound very pleasant to the ear. So I think this is a very important instruction for our Vaishnav and Brahminical culture. And as far as possible, we should always, especially in the association of Vaishnavas, devotees, choose our words, speeches very carefully, so that it will not agitate the mind of others. What to speak of insulting others? It is completely out of question. The passion means the mind becomes agitated. Mode of goodness, very pleasant for the mind. And ignorance, that means insulting others. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that if the authorities or the leaders of society do not give special respect to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and do not offer them not only sweet words but all facilities, then the path of progress will be lost to human civilization. The Lord personally wanted to teach this, and therefore you offered so much praise to the Kumaras. The Lord Himself gives the example of always speaking with very pleasant words, sweet words, to His devotees. If this speech is not meant to benefit others, not pleasant, then often such a person doesn't really talk to people, but rather at people. There's a significant difference between talking to someone or talking at someone. If you talk to someone, Hare Krishna, then you respect the opinion of the other person. You always give a chance that the other person can respond, also express his opinion, opens his mind. You invite the other person to have a conversation. But if you talk at someone, then there's no scope for that. You're not interested in the opinion of others. You're not interested in the conversation. You simply attempt to instruct others. So that naturally is very agitating for the mind. Long ago, I took a course in what's the proper English pronunciation? In German, we say rhetoric.
Rhetoric.
Quite different. Rhetoric. Rhetoric. You pronounce rhetoric. So I took long ago a course in rhetoric. And it was quite interesting to learn about the principles of having a conversation, the rules of a debate. Very interesting, I thought. Debates, of course, are often accompanied by very emotional speeches, emotional talks. But even on the level of a debate, that's what I learned, it is strictly prohibited to insult the opponent, to personally insult the opponent, strictly prohibited. That's one basic rule of having a debate or participating in a debate. discussions, they're of a more mild nature, that we can discuss something. Debate is a little more heated, because I have an opinion, you have an opposite opinion, and then let us have a debate. But you should never ever insult the opponent. That's the rule. So I wish that we could apply this rule much more often in our debates we sometimes have. When we have when our discussions turn into a debate, there's a very important rule of what to speak, of having a debate in the spiritual circles. How much more this rule must be applied to never insult another person. We can give a practical example that, for instance, it is obvious you should not, if someone is a liberal, that to directly insult him, then you just say, you're a liberal and therefore you're an idiot. Direct insult. But often people insult others indirectly. Not directly, but indirectly. Which also means insulting, but you don't do it directly. And in this case, you would say that all liberals are idiots. Of course, in the audience, there might be someone, or your opponent, he might be liberal, and immediately he feels insulted. So such kind of speeches or tactics in order to downplay the opinion of your opponent or somebody, downplay them, discredit his opinion by personally insulting the person. That is highly improper. Such tactics should never be used. Not even in the kami, non-devotee society, even they, they adhere to such a rule, what to speak of us. Then, of course, we have one purport where Srila Prabhupada describes what he gives a definition, very nice definition of the truthfulness. I just quote, Prabhupada explains, truthfulness means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should never be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. So that's a fact. We cannot, just in the name of the pleasing others, we cannot compromise the truth. That's true. But still, according to the time, place, circumstances and people involved, we also, even in speaking the truth, we also have to use our good sense of discrimination. We cannot just blast the truth any way we like. No, we have to still consider time, place, circumstances, and the persons we are talking to. See, often it is not precisely what you say that makes you wrong, but how you say it that makes you wrong. Then it is further explained in the verse today that the Dhruva Maharaj was constantly alert in the performance of devotional duties. So when an advanced devotee approaches the perfection of his spiritual life, spiritual practices, then related to performing his sadhana, bhakti, his spiritual devotional duties, he should not develop an attitude, what is called carefree. What words do we have? Carefree, freewheeling, just he still has to be very, very particular in the performance of his sadhana bhakti. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport today that even at the time when Dhruva Maharaj left this material world, that his devotional career was being completed. He was perfect in his spiritual life. Even at that point, just about when he was just about to leave this world, but still he performed his devotional duties very, very nicely. Then you might argue, what about Srila Madhavendra Puri? He gives us a very nice verse. Sandhya Vandana Bhatramastu Bhavatu Bho Snana Tubhyam Namo. Then Smaram, Smaram. He emphasizes the remembrance of the Lord. He took full shelter in simply remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. And he thought, that is sufficient for me. He prays in this shloka that related to his evening prayers, he says, all good unto you. Regarding his morning bath, he says, I bid you goodbye. Now what about the demigods and the forefathers? Please excuse me, he says. Now I have decided to free myself from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. Now what about that? And sometimes our young devotees might feel very inspired by these words. Yes, I also would like to say my morning bath goodbye sometimes. But that is not the actual meaning. It is not related to the sadhana bhakti, the performance of devotional duties. This is related to karma kandi activities. The duties of performing fruitive activities in order to be elevated to the heavenly planets, etc., enjoy material life on the higher planets. Naturally, an advanced devotee, he's not interested in that. So just to emphasize the importance of surrendering to Krishna by always remembering him, never forgetting him, that he might speak in this way. But that doesn't mean from that, you know, shloka on, Madhavendra Puri never took his bath again. Of course, he followed very, very nicely, very strictly. So on the advanced platform, that's the fact of devotional service. The devotee does not depend any longer on even following these rules and regulations, sadhana. He does not depend on it. Because he already took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna by always remembering him. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, who is constantly engaged in devotional service, should not manifest himself, even though he has attained perfection. The idea is that he should always continue to act as a neophyte devotee as long as his material body is there. Activities in devotional service under regulated principles must be followed even by the pure devotee. The Srila Prabhupada refers to one verse we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is explained by Anta Ihara Dui, Ihara Dui, Duita Sadhana, the Sadhana Bhakti. It's by Saraka Dehi Kore Shravana Kirtan. Mani Nija Sita Deha Koreo Bhavan. Ratri Dine Kodibraji Krishna Sevan. That verse explains that there are two processes of executing Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. And one is internal and the other one is external. So externally, the very advanced devotee always follows. He just behaves like a neophyte, I mean in a sense of following the injunctions of the Shastras very strictly, always chanting his rounds very carefully, attentively, nicely, etc., taking his early bath in the morning. But internally, he renders service to Lord Krishna. That verse explains 24 hours a day, day and night, is always rendering service to Lord Krishna and Vrindavan in his own perfectional stage, his eternal relationship with the Lord. But externally he always behaves in such a way that others benefit, can follow his example. The Srila Prabhupada taught us to not prematurely talk about such elevated platforms of eternally liberated souls, referring to one's own rasa or eternal relationship with the Lord. He taught us very strictly we should never indulge in such discussions, but rather always follow very strictly the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. That's the process of purification. The prematurely, the heart and the mind cannot be purified. It is not possible. Often Srila Prabhupada was being asked say something regarding the techniques of chanting Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada again and again explained, simply hear, what is the problem? Simply hear. That's the process, not imagining, thinking, or all kinds of things. Just to hear, that process in itself, it purifies the mind. And then when the mind is fully purified, everything will be revealed in a natural way. There's one example of a young girl. She is imitating the sound of a pregnant woman in order to get some attention. So those of us who don't know that the girl is actually not pregnant, just imitating, she makes a sound, oh, and everybody, what is happening? Maybe we have to bring her to the hospital immediately, she's giving birth to a child. But she's just imitating, wants to get some attention. So once discovered, it doesn't look very nice. Everything is contained, all perfections are contained simply by chanting Hare Krishna in the holy name. I give a quotation of a Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love, and is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests when his holy name starts to blossom a little further. It then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Vrindavan and reveals to me his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Hare Krishna. Shikshastakam explains everything. All the perfections are there in the holy name, everything. Simply have to surrender to that simple process of hearing, attentively hearing. Sometimes we hear that the different aspects of Krishna consciousness are being emphasized. That this is most important, that is most important. Or this pleases Srila Prabhupada, that pleases Srila Prabhupada. So one does not exclude the other, it is all true, correct. But still the most essential success, or the most essential, most important the point of the devotee's success is to develop his love for Krishna. That's the most essential. Nothing can be more pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, to the spiritual master, to save and accept developing our love for Krishna. Because that will include all other perfections. Of course, that doesn't mean that I should wait, do nothing, till I develop my love for Krishna. No. In order to develop that love for Krishna, of course, we have to chant Hare Krishna, but also please Guru. That is important. Please Guru by following his instructions, by trying to please him. Trying to develop love for him because he loves Krishna. And if he is pleased, then Krishna automatically is pleased. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote, if you love Krishna, then your love will be distributed. And if you don't love Krishna, you love somebody else instead, then somebody will cry that you do not love me. Such a nice point. That's the nature of mundane love. You endeavor so sincerely to love someone, but then always on the expense of somebody else, and somebody else will cry, you know, why don't you love me? Why you love him, her? But if we love Krishna, then that includes everything. Like then Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the food. If we give food to the stomach, then all the other parts of the body benefit automatically. Once one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, he made the point that what about, he said, can you love your wife and not love Krishna? And the Prabhupada replied that your love has to be applied at the right place. You have to invest your love at the right place. And then Prabhupada gave the example of the carrot. Now we know carrots are very beneficial for the eyes, but that doesn't mean you try to push the carrot into your eyes. You give it to the stomach. So just by loving, by giving our love to Krishna, anything else will benefit automatically. It's like the stomach, giving food to the stomach. There's one verse also in the Bhagavatam. Yatataro mula nishekshanena tribyantika skanda bhujo pashaka. That verse explains, gives the example of the root of a tree. If you apply water to the root of the tree, then the branches, the leaves and flowers, they will all be nourished, automatically benefit. That's the first half of the verse, because you could argue, just like my mother did. You know, my mother, she always watered the plants in her living room, but she also sprayed water. At that time, we didn't have this machine, this spray machine. She took the water and then she put the water in her mouth and then sprayed it over the plants because it keeps them very fresh and nice looking. So what's wrong about that? You can do both. No, this is why the second half of the verse is another example. Giving food to the stomach. Now here you cannot argue what's the harm. You can give food to the stomach, but you can also try to push the food in your ear holes and your nose holes and eyes. That's completely bogus. So that's the important point, that we simply have to love Krishna, serve Krishna. That will take care of everything. No need to apply our love somewhere else, serve something else, somebody else. Simply by serving Krishna, everything is accomplished. Therefore, we find this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumato Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam Tatradara Naparaha. Now this is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is prema, love for Krishna, that is the highest goal attainable for anyone. That's the highest goal. There's nothing higher than that. Nidya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Prabhunoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chidhe Karayudoy. It is not in some artificial process. It is already there, eternally established in the heart of all living beings. Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. That is our prime duty, to develop that, to uncover, remove the covering of loving Krishna. And it is not difficult to love Krishna. I remember one class Srila Prabhupada stated that what is the difficulty to love Krishna? Because Krishna is so attractive. All his qualities are so attractive. The six a number, Aishvayasya, Samargasya, Vyasa, Yashashashya, Jnana Vairagaras, Chaiva, Sanambhava, Itingana. But that makes them all attractive. And it is further explained that among these six qualities, there's one prime quality, the most essential quality. And that is Lord Krishna's beauty. Everything rests on that quality. All the other qualities are extensions of that one quality. The Krishna's transcendental beauty, it is like the trunk of a tree or the torso of a human body, like that, and the hands and legs, these are the extensions of the body, extensions of the tree, twigs, branches, etc. But the first three qualities of Krishna, Aishvarya, the opulence, the power, and the fame, these are the three main branches emanating from the beauty of Krishna. And from the yasha, the fame, then there are two sub-branches emanating. And that is knowledge and renunciation. And these sub-branches, knowledge and renunciation, they're the basis of the effulgence of the Lord, the jyoti of the Lord. And this is why those who worship the jyoti, effulgence, Brahman, they always feel very attracted to knowledge and renunciation. But those who further advance, they feel especially, of course, attracted to Lord Krishna's transcendental beauty. Just like the other day I was reading a very beautiful passage related to Lord Krishna's pastimes. When Lord Krishna is leaving the palace of Nanda Maharaj in order to tend the cows and go into the pasturing grounds, tending the cows, then it is described Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they are so attracted to Krishna's beauty, they of course they don't just want to let him go. Okay, go to the forest, Haribo, see you in the evening. They don't want to let him go. They're just beholding Lord Krishna's beauty as he walks away. And they just follow Krishna. And after some time, Krishna, he turns his neck, and he is still following. This time, we want to continue and you can go home. Yes, yes, and they still follow. Yes. Again he turns around. My dear mother, you have to prepare my lunch. Otherwise it will be too late, and if lunch is not coming in time, I will not return home. And it is also explained that he mentioned to Nanda Maharaj, my dear father, my ball bat, ball bat, the bat stick, the top of my ball bat is broken. So could you kindly fix it and make six very strong new ones? I know what our Indian brahmacharis think now, it's the Adi cricket or something. Anyway, so this is a very interesting point that the parents of Lord Krishna, they could not let Krishna go. They were so attracted to Krishna's beauty, just followed. But as soon as Krishna mentioned that how to please him, that he desired the lunch to be prepared, at that point Mother Yashoda immediately stopped. And she was not interested any longer in displaying her attraction to Krishna. This is natural, this is so strong love. But she wasn't even interested in that at this particular point. Before, she could not let Krishna go. She was so attached to Krishna. But as soon as there was a chance for rendering service to Krishna, immediately she renounced everything and she ran back instantly, immediately, to prepare the lunch for Krishna. Because Krishna was making the point, otherwise they will not return. So that would mean the death for Mother Yashoda. And then the last point before we greet the deities. In this verse it had been mentioned that Abhyabhadayat, that means Dhruva Maharaj made them, the sages, give him blessings. It's a very, very important point in our Vaishnav culture that the Vaishnavs are always eager to receive the blessings of superiors, of other Vaishnavs, especially of the superiors. It's a very important point. In the mundane society, it is exactly the opposite. The juniors, they want to overthrow the seniors, they want to pull them down, they want to demonstrate that, you know, we know better than these old folks. Revolution, overthrow them. This doesn't find any scope in a spiritual empowerment. The spiritual empowerment means you receive the blessings. Then you become empowered. Then you can do something significant. So this is why Srila Prabhupada wanted this Mayapur festival, Vrindavan festival, so that we can cultivate the association of as many devotees, Vaishnavas, as possible and receive their blessings. And then there's a great hope that we can do something wonderful when we cooperate with each other, that we can do something wonderful for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Radha Madhava, the Pancha Tattva, and the Lord Narasimhadeva. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. So we only have 3 minutes left, no time for questions. We can prepare to greet Sri Sri Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna.